This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the One Was Had a Dream podcast. My name is Lee Finch, and as ever, I will be joined by Danny Baker. And our special guest this week is George Brown, and we'll be bringing him in later in the show. But yeah, first off, let me introduce Danny. How are we? You good this week?
I'm absolutely terrific. Thank you, Lee. How are you?
Good. Good as gold, mate. World Cup fever, proper hit.
Oh, mate, I've been ill for the last couple of days. I've absolutely got high temperature. It is a World Cup fever. I'm absolutely certain of it. Very excited about the Senegal game. I mean, it couldn't get any better than that, can it? And watching the Japan-Spain game and the Costa Rica game as we speak, it's incredibly exciting at this time of the year. I was going to ask my question, obviously, as you know, working hard at work as usual. What is the best sporting event that is not football? I.e., you know, you got the Football World Cup. What is the best of the others? Are you a Super Bowler? Do you think that's the best of the best or not really?
Darts.
Are you saying that because it's good? Are you saying that because of the whole do 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 and you turn up looking
like I do like arrows, but then when you watch Phil Taylor.
No, you can't say arrows, it's arrows. Yeah, we've got to get that.
Arrows.
Got to get rid of the O and the W. Arrows.
And I've been to the World Championships about six times. I used to arrange it. I used to sort it out for me and the boys.
Any particular fancy dress kind of anyone could tell us a vicar?
We didn't do fancy dress. I'm not 15 years old. We did Christmas jumpers once where you had if someone wore the same Christmas jumper as you, you had to do a shot.
Okay. In the whole audience or just in your group?
In your group. But it started with five of us and then it ended up being about 50 of us. And I used to arrange it. We used to meet at
50 people.
Pretty much, yeah. They used to go to the dark.
Did you go on the tables in the front or did you go in the stands? In the stands
having to go at the people in the tables.
Yeah, you got it, swear.
And then one of all the lads, their thing was to not get me on TV. I really wanted to get on TV.
Of course you did, yeah.
And they would literally do anything to stop me from getting on TV, except for one year where they did a walk-on. Because you know the walk-on at the darts, they don't actually walk out of a thing. They come in.
Yeah,
early.
They come in and they stand there. And then they walk down.
And then they walk down, which I thought was always a bit, that blew it out of mind. But darts, yeah. I know you're going to say some stupid cricket thing. Like, did you see the cricket?
No.
500 in one day.
I don't think you can start a sentence with that stupid cricket thing and all of a sudden start trying to smoothie up and say, oh, did you watch the cricket? That doth not butter any parsnips, young man. Should we say that?
The problem with cricket I have, right, is I am...
No, we know you don't like cricket.
No, I do like it.
It's too cerebral.
No, I do
too
like
clever.
It.
Lack of cheese sandwiches because you've eaten them all.
I'm an old school cricket. I like 5-day test cricket.
Good. What do you think so?
I'm one of the ones that used to have the book and mark the runs down.
No, you didn't. You didn't ever be that bloke.
Yeah, I did. No, yeah.
I mean, is there anything better than the Olympics? That's what I'm going to say. The Olympics is pretty monstrous, isn't it?
No, shit.
Oh, what?
I'm not a big fan of
track and field. How can you say it's not exciting when it's the only time ever you can get excited between a volleyball match between Venezuela and Costa Rica? I mean, it's absolutely sensational viewing.
Not for me. I tried to get tickets for it. I ended up going to the Paralympics. I saw a bit of goalball.
That was good.
Goalball. You know, the ones with the blind ones.
Yeah, my mate played in that. Yeah.
Is he blind?
Yes, he's blind, yeah. Hence why he's playing goalball, yeah.
Well, no, because you can be partially sighted. But they did have a team that was... They did have a team that cheated, didn't they? They could see what they were doing. But Olympics is horrendous. Formula One, horrendous.
Yes, agreed. Formula One is a little bit boring. I'm not going to lie on that one. I'll give you that one.
Max Verstappen just won, I think, but I didn't even know. I didn't even notice.
Of course, but you're not. You're too busy.
Olympics, track and field is horrendous to be working.
So you reckon? So you're not bothered about the Super Bowl? You don't think the
World Series
is good?
What is with all these British and English people now getting involved in NFL? Like, shut up, stop it. You're just jumping on bandwagons. Does my head in. Oh, yeah, I support the Seattle Seahawks. You have no idea who Seattle Seahawks are.
Hey, I know exactly who they are. They're the Legion of Boom. That's what they are.
I'm a Las Vegas fan, if I was going to be.
Of course you are.
Only because I was near the stadium in May. But
so, literally, it's football and darts, and then that's it. You don't. I mean, I quite like the snooker. You big on the World Championship snooker?
Boring.
Yeah, too many numbers, isn't it? It's quite difficult just boring. To keep adding up.
And also, they make it look really easy, and then when you go to play it, you realise how shit you are at sport.
It's not really a sport, is it?
Even though people say darts ain't a sport, it is.
Let's not get into it. Is it a sport? Is it a game? But so we both agreed that it's the Olympics.
Not having it. Anyway, let's bring George in. He's a younger person. He'll be able to tell us. He'll probably go like...
He's a younger person?
Bumper car racing or something.
You know what I mean? No. I'm actually going for an old thing. The Ryder Cup.
Do you know what, George? You've gone up already in my estimations.
Once every 2 years, it's 3 days, and it's something about, because it's all of Europe, isn't it? It's all of us against the Americans. They have one chant, they just go, USA, you, on
what is it about the golf when they just, as soon as someone hits it, they just say something random? Like, Jackie Potato!
It's a par five, and they hit it and go, get in the hole. It's like, mate, you ain't hitting it 600 yards, is he? George, for someone who's like 14 years old, that's a great shout from you, to be fair.
Do you know what? He started with an absolute flyer.
Oh, yeah, Ryder Cup's brilliant. That's a banging shirt. Because I hate golf. I don't mind a bit of the...
What do you like?
I don't mind a bit of the crazy stuff. Do you know what I mean? The windmill hole, things like that. But golf is boring. It's a long walk, but the Ryder Cup is decent. I'll give you that, George. Yeah, what else have you got in the locker, George?
Oh, I liked Formula One when I was younger, but now it's gone down the track. Because when I was younger, there was like six cars competing every week. Now it's just Verstappen wins or Hamilton wins every week, so I'm not a fan of it. But no, I'd say obviously the World Cup as well, I think.
The football thing is just so good. I've been watching that FIFA Uncovered. Have you seen that yet? The documentary about all the scandal in FIFA is pretty lively. I've only seen 2 episodes, but the Ryder Cup is a great shout. Is it better than the Olympics, though?
Yeah, well, the Olympics is rubbish.
It's not rubbish.
Thing about the Olympics.
National anthems of random countries.
That's just awful.
Athletes being at the very, very peak of their abilities.
No, because it's the same people that win every year.
We can't be, because they don't win every year. Every four years,
same people.
Normally, 9 times out of 10, someone else comes through.
And so much drugs in it. I don't get how people are running on that much drugs. How can they run straight?
Dear. Who took the jam out of your door? You can tell it's Christmas coming up with you, isn't it?
I'm not a big fan of Christmas
either. Yes, George. No, George has got his hand up. Yes, George.
I tell you what I like. I watched the other day, the wind sports, when they do racing, the skiing, but racing, but not when it's slalom, when they race each other, because they just cut each other off.
Yes, that is good.
Someone went flying off the side of them.
Again, another great answer.
Winter Olympics is better than Summer Olympics.
You see, I think last year or something, the last Winter Olympics, a 17-year-old American rocked up, like hungover, and she won... Something like that. Like she won or something, and everyone went mental. Like she forgot her bib or something like that. Something crazy.
Dan just said they're athletes at the peak of their thing.
They also had a person, the famous American skier called Peekaboo Street, which I still think is probably the best athlete's name ever. Peekaboo. I mean, you can't beat that, can you?
Danny.
Hold on. Yeah, go on.
I hate Christmas as well.
I know you hate Christmas. We spoke about that. That'll be next week's conversation.
Right. Anyway, let's move. Should we move? Because people.
Well, I don't know. You're bringing the mood down. I
people have probably switched off. Now. People have switched off of your Olympic.
What do you have
chat?
With your negativity?
Chesterfield. Let's bring it up a notch. Let's be positive.
George, go. Give me something positive about Chesterfield, for God's sake. Okay, and that was that. Excellent.
Watching a decent side was all right. They were. I think it actually showed how good the National League is because. Yeah. They were comfortably top 10, I think, in League Two. And I think, and I know people say they weren't that good, but that's the whole point.
They spent a few bob, Chesterfield.
I was just going to say, it ain't about how good League Two, the conference is, it's about how much money you're spending in the conference. The three teams of the top, second, and third are spending more money than most of the teams in League Two, Wrexham, Notts County, and Chesterfield.
And that means that they're going to be stronger than them, surely.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. So, yeah, but that's got it's nothing to do with the league. Do you know what I mean? Under them three teams, it's pretty pony. It's just the three teams that are spending the most money in that level. But I didn't watch it. I'm literally World Cup fevered up at the moment, so I'm not really bothered about Wimbledon. It's really weird.
Hold on. A couple of weeks ago, you were the one who said, oh, you know, it's club over country, like Jamie Carragher. Yeah. And now look at you. All of a sudden, you're Clive Tilsley over
it. I've literally got into it big time.
Of course you have. I didn't watch it. I was at a first birthday party, but my dad stupidly went to the football and he didn't have a pair of gloves. So he wore a pair of socks on his hands.
That is unbelievable.
He's getting old. Apparently, this is the rumour. I should have asked him today. But Venus, who I stand with, was like, tell your dad about the socks. I was like, what?
Venus?
He said, yeah, Venus. Apparently, he wore...
Is she a big Wimbledon fan?
What are you talking about?
You said Venus, who you stand with. Venus Williams?
Yeah, we call him... His name's Mark Williams. We call him Venus. Next.
Oh, I thought it was tennis player. Venus was...
No, don't be so silly. No.
Oh, I know Mark. Mark and... Who's his brother?
Owen.
Owen, that's it. Mark's a good lad.
Hello, Mark. Hello, Mark, Owen.
Absolutely clueless about football. Owen's the one who is the knowledge. Go on, sorry.
Wow. The heads all
anyway,
right.
Anyway, socks on hands. Socks on hands.
In general, he was wearing socks on hands, which is bizarre. But from the very basic information that he gave me, he said that they were decent. We didn't look remotely up for it. I was at a first birthday party, so I didn't see any of it. So I just saw the goals. Looked pretty. I mean, again, though, we didn't. It looked like we made some chances. I mean, I saw Harry Pell's miss.
Pell's good.
And Chislett had one sort of cleared off the line. But I don't know whether it's a good thing that we're out or a bad thing. Because let's face it, I know it is a bad thing, but everyone goes, well, it could be a good thing. We can focus on the league. I'm not in that boat.
The thing is, the draw wasn't overly great.
West Brom at home, wasn't it?
No, Coventry away, weren't it?
No, West Brom at home.
Oh, it depends on if you think we would have had Wrexham's ball or if we were Chesterfield. So I think Wrexham's ball was the ball we would have had was Chesterfield, but Coventry, but obviously Chesterfield drew West Brom. So it depends how you look at it.
Yeah, so the ball we would have had was number 46 would have been our ball.
Oh, I thought we had Chesterfield's ball.
Yeah,
it depends how you look at it.
No, we would have been number 46, I think someone said. And we.
Oh, okay. Well, either or, that's
Coventry
not...
Away,
Coventry away. Yeah, no, I'm not bothered about that.
No, I'm not bothered, but it's still money that we probably lost out on and the fact that we just...
They put two on
us out and totally stopped us playing. Go on then, George.
I think it shows how poor we are actually breaking teams down. As soon as we need to properly break teams down, as soon as teams don't sort of open up for us, but come at us.
Yeah.
Trying to break teams down who stay in their shell like Chesterfield did, because they knew that they'd get chances and they took them, to be fair. I think Isaac for the goal was really weak. I know some people think it was a foul, but I'm not buying that. From where I was, it looked like he was pushed.
Do you feel, George, that our home form since we've been at Plough Lane has been adequate, maybe is not even the right word. Do you feel that might be part of it? The fact that teams are coming to Plough Lane and be like, do you know what? We're just going to be hard to break down and you can come at us and we'll pick you off. Or do you think that's just a load of nonsense?
I think there will be a mentality issue. I think we are quite fragile at Plough Lane. I think there probably is a pressure for the players. They feel that they've got to deliver, but I think that's something you've got to deal with as players. They're professional football players at the end of the day. And you know,
what do you make about momentum now? Because obviously we gained quite a decent amount of momentum. We had, I think it was nearly 10 games unbeaten. Now that we've played poorly and lost, are we going to have the A, enough players, and B, the right mentality to see this as a minor blip and keep going forward? Or have we now lost that momentum and it's now we're kind of back to sort of very close to the sort of Sutton United sort of part of the season, do you think?
I think it's a bit of both. We how many times did we actually play well in our 10-game unbeaten run, though? That's the thing.
I agree with that. Yeah.
Brilliant. To be fair, we were very good. And I think you've got to factor in they were poor, but you've got to give us credit. We were very good. Tranmere, for the first half, we were good. Second half, everyone forgets Tranmere. We were woeful. Against 10 men, we had, like, I looked at it, we had like 38% possession or something like that, which was...
Yeah, we were poor then, yeah.
So how many times have we actually been good? That's what you've got to look at. And how many performances do we look back on and go, yeah, that was really good? Harrogate was 10 minutes.
Yes, I totally agree.
Harrogate, because, you know, that gets bigged up as a big win. Josh Davison bailed us out, you know, with that finish. That we got a lucky goal, and then Josh Davison plucks one out of the sky and puts that bottom corner. So
I think that's football, though, isn't it? You know what I mean? We went on a run. We got to give the boys credit. We did have 9 games unbeaten. And when we saw the Chesterfield thing, people that don't look into it didn't realise how good Chesterfield were. Do you know what I mean? They think, oh, yeah, National League team, we should be beating them. But as I said, below that 2 in there, or that 3, yeah, they're the best in there, and they should be.
Do we feel, though, that we're that's the end of that period of a good season, or do we feel like we've got enough to be able to go, right, okay, yeah, we've lost that game, but we're going to kick back in. We've got Grimsby obviously coming up, we've got Swindon away, we've got Stevenage at home. We've actually played better against some half decent teams. Do we feel like that we're going to kind of go back to that kind of incredibly inconsistent, frustrating team, or are we going to get some momentum?
I think that's what we are. We're a mid-table side. I think, you know, obviously we all want to dream of playoffs, but I think without NYC and maybe another attacking midfielder who can actually break teams down, I can't see us sustaining a run and sustaining a side that can put us in the playoffs. So I think we are going to be an inconsistent mid-table side who will win some and lose some. It'd probably be, as usual, better away from home, so we don't get to see many wins at home. But that's what we are. Coming back to what you said earlier, I did find a positive out of Chesterfield. It's taken a while.
Go on.
Husbila. I thought he was brilliant when he came on. He put in the cross that Pell missed. He did really well defensively, won all his tackles. And he came on for 40 minutes, basically. Isaac was pulled straight away in the second half. And he looked really good. And for his third professional appearance, or whatever it is, he looked very good.
Danny, before the World Cup, when you said about Gunter not being our right back when he comes back...
Yeah,
is Biller now going to be our right back? Yeah. Is he above Isaac?
Personally, as I said, I know that was an unpopular opinion, and we'll come to them. I'm still standing by that. I feel like, personally, if we've got two good young right backs, George summed up beautifully. We're going to be inconsistent. We're going to play well some weeks, not good the other. The one thing that young players need are minutes, and I feel like he'll back either Agonde or he should back Agonde or Biller. If Biller's been playing well, let them two fight it out. I'm sure Gunter can either. We haven't got much. I don't feel like we've got much backup for Curry. And if there's a player missing, one can go. But for me, I wouldn't be playing Gunter. I'd let Gunter learn his coaching role, and I would be playing the younger guys. But happy to be shouted down.
So I would kind of do the same thing. I'd keep Gunter around, and then I'd let one of them go out on loan. So I'd go Gunter as backup, and then either give Biela the shirt or Isaac the shirt, and then say,
who would you give it to, George?
I probably would actually give it to Biela. I thought Isaac, but I think Isaac needs another loan. He's still green. I like him because he's passionate, and you can see he's a leadership. So he's definitely getting there. But I think 6 months away at Hampton and Richmond, I know the level's not great. It's more just learning again for another 6 months.
You wouldn't bomb Osu out and keep him as a backup and let him play left or right
who?
Back?
I don't ever want to see Paul Osu in a Wimbledon shirt again.
Okay, so that, yeah. Okay.
For me,
Paul Osu, has he got a year to contract or 2 years?
So when it was announced, it was a 2-year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I remember I put a tweet out or something, but then I looked back at the article and now it's a 1-year deal.
Well, I hope so.
It's a bit of a weird one. I mean, he's got a career in professional drumming after this, so I'm sure he's fine.
Well, that's better than, but... I think we should move on because we've rattled on regarding crappy Olympics and stuff like that, and then the awful result against Chesterfield. I think we move on, and then when we come back, we'll discuss George's and fans who have sent them in their unpopular opinions, and me and Danny can go through them, and George can go through them as well.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
Well, we're back and we're going to be discussing unpopular opinions. George, this was a popular thing the other day. Jaggy, the American Womble, put a little YouTube video out, which I absolutely loved. And I thought it was quite funny. And me and Danny done ours, and we thought it was good to get people's unpopular opinions. George, you sent us one as well, and that's when we discussed you coming on. What was your unpopular opinion again?
I'll read it out, and I'll read it. So I said, we've reached a ceiling as a fan-owned club. We will not go any higher than the bottom of League One. To believe in this day and age we can compete long-term higher without selling a significantly bigger percentage of the club is delusional. Our fan base refuses to accept this due to our own arrogance. I mean, I did sort of, when I typed that, obviously make it a bit bolder to spark conversation, but I still personally believe in the core principles. So I don't know what you two think, but...
Dan?
I don't disagree with the content. I know the inflammatory bit a little bit around arrogance of the fans, which I think is quite a good point. And I do think in some fans' cases, do you know what? It's a really difficult one, right? Because if you look at it logically, we would have laughed about being here now when the club started. So the fact that we've got this far means that it gives some of those fans a genuine belief to go, do you know what? Anything is possible. And do you know what? They're right. But I do feel that the jump from League Two to League One is quite high. I mean, the biggest jump for me is always League One to the Championship. But I feel like in terms of where we're at, I feel that I've always been someone who I feel that we do need a bit more investment. I don't know whether that means more investment in terms of selling the club, whether that means us being dependent, etc. I don't know. But I do feel that us having a bigger level of fan ownership is going to, in the long run, is going to actually be more harm than good. So I think I do agree with George, but I don't agree with the reason why fans are doing it because of their arrogance, etc. I think a lot of them is just because they can't let go. And what happened was so hurtful. I feel like the older fans can't let go because they're not bothered about it, because the reason why they supported Wimbledon is this. I think the middle fans can't let go because they know what happened. And the new fans want us to let go because they want the club to move on. So I'm kind of... with the newer fans, to be honest.
Yeah, I half agree with what George has said regarding the arrogance of fans. I do find that a lot of our fans, and George has unfortunately had to quickly drop off, but yeah, I believe that a lot of our fans do kind of think they're better than some people and stuff like that, and the way they talk to younger fans and fans. We had someone, I'll put their unpopular opinion up in a minute, which I thought was just, again, it's an arrogance of how they say it and the way the middle-class Wimbledon fans, so to speak, think they can speak to people. I kind of get George's point regarding that, but I think we now need to look at the fact that we've just appointed a new MD. We've just appointed a head of football operations. We need to see how that plays out, how that works, how we can, if you look at what the club are doing with the World Cup and stuff, that looks really good, showing the games and getting loads of people in the bars and spending money. We also need to see where we can go regards to get the head of football operations, and if we can sign non-league gems and sell them for millions, and some of our youth players already looking that they could be going off to bigger things soon. So, yeah, I kind of get your point, but the thing is now, I think I agree with Danny, League One to Championship is huge. Championship to Premiership, huge. The only step I don't think is huge is Conference to League Two. I think League Two to League One is just, everything is massive except for that Conference to League Two, because you look at most of the teams that come up, most of them do well in League Two. I think Harrogate are struggling this year and stuff, but they'll probably will stay up. But yeah, I agree. But yeah, no, good point there, George. Right, do you want another one, boys?
Go for it.
Oh, yes, please.
Lloyd W. So on Twitter, this unpopular opinion. Our Selhurst Park days, which you might not know about this, George, but our Selhurst Park days were some of the best, if not the best times to be a Wimbledon fan. Danny, what do you think about that?
I think from the quality of football, I'd have to agree. I don't think it's hard. I think it's hard to disagree on the fact of getting to the Premier League, playing some good stuff, being in the top six. That year when we had seven deadly wins, won seven on the bounce.
Two semi-finals.
I think it's when you look at it objectively, I think it's quite tough. But then again, I wasn't around for that sort of that 86 to 89. I was just a fraction early, and obviously became sixth in there, won the cup. I think the thing that really annoyed me about all of this, though, was the lack of European football. And we would have got it with, obviously, after the Hillsborough stuff, and then we had Heysel, which murdered us. And I felt like we would have been quite interesting to have Europe, and we never really quite managed to just put our finger on that. But in terms of the quality of football, I don't think that I've watched a better footballing team and players than that Wimbledon Premier League 96 to 99. I think that's a fair shout.
I have to kind of disagree, because I think we easily forget the good times that we've had at AFC Wimbledon, the cup finals at Woking when we were coming back through. That
please don't do this. You can't say that. You can't put in the same breath Wimbledon beating Man United at home 1-0, beating Peter Schmeichel, and linking it to Woking. George is laughing. He's eating a tiramisu and he's laughing.
He's saying Sellers Park days were one of our best days. That's good. They were great. They were great.
You can't link it to Woking away, mate.
What do you mean?
Shane Smelt's 1-0.
What do you mean?
You can't link it to that.
Why can't you? Because you've got to remember the journey that we've been on from
Lee,
now.
It's the best football, they said. The best football.
No, he didn't. He said the best days.
I think you put that in there.
Sellers Park days were some of the best, if not the best, times to be a Wimbledon fan. He didn't say anything about the football. He said Sellers Park days were some of the best, if not the best, times to be a Wimbledon fan.
But surely that's linked to the football that you're watching, surely.
But that's in your opinion. So you're linking it to the football. My linking it is to some of the best days I had out was watching AFC Wimbledon on a open-top bus, or we took a limo down to Do you know what I mean? We've had days at Manchester where we've won the playoff final and got into the Football League. We've had days where we've gone to Wembley and played Spurs and things like that.
You're talking about a fan experience, are you?
I'm talking about the whole lot of...
But that's just going to be based on the year that you're born, basically.
Don't get me wrong. Right, I agree with you. But you also, I think we easily forget what you said earlier, the journey that we've been on as AFC Wimbledledon. We had ambulance selling merchandise at Dulwich Hamlet, and now we've got a proper club shop at Plough Lane.
I'm not disputing the journey. All I'm saying is
your opinion's right, don't mean that you can shout others down, Danny Baker.
We're here to give our opinion, aren't we?
George, let George have a speech.
Interject, please, George. Give us some sort of sanity.
My best day as a fan is still Staines away. Is it 08?
Yes,
if anyone is listening, I'm born in 2003, so I've no, obviously, I grew up with Wimbledon, AFC Wimbledon, sorry. My best day is Staines, Mark De Bola free kick, still remember that, you know. The day out, and I start things like Sam Hatton being on the bench that day, and then also playing for us in the Football League, things like that, just in hindsight, mate, the day so much better.
Right, thank you. Opinions, eh? That arsehole.
It's got lively, isn't it? Ever since you tarnished it with your Olympic, I hate the Olympics. My back's been right up. It's the
first time me and you've nearly come to
blows.
Cutting you off. Right, you ready? I'm having an opinion from Henry Robertshaw, who has been on the pod. We're right not to leave anyone on the halfway line when defending corners. We have an extra defender back, and it creates space for Ayub to counter into, rather than him being stuck in the halfway line trying to hold up a long ball against two defenders.
Go on, Clive Tilsley. You can go first.
No, George was nodding, so I'll let George have a go.
Oh, okay. Then we'll go to you.
I agree, because there was some statistic. There was some like research I saw on Opta that said you're more likely to score counter-attacking if you bring all your men back, because they only leave them one on sitting on the halfway line. Whereas if we left Ayub on the halfway line, they'd sit two. And then Ayub, when he's double marked, wouldn't be able to do much and you can't counter. So I actually do agree. Although it is frustrating, I agree.
I'm half and half, because I think you need to leave someone up the pitch to cause issues, because otherwise it's easy to defend against. But yeah, I kind of get the point, and Henry does back it up. He says there's stats to back this up regarding Ayub coming out. I wouldn't leave Ayub up. I'd leave him on the edge so we can break quickly. But I do think we need to leave someone up, like Josh Davison or someone like that, who can hold the ball up and get. Do you know what I mean? Why do we need him in the defender?
Criminal. Josh, why do we need? You can win a header.
So can our midfielders and our defenders, which is what their job is. Our job of our strikers is to score goals, not defend our own goal. So leave them two up, and that's going to cause problems.
But anyway. Davison can win a header. He's 6'1", Josh.
And he can hold the ball up well if we need to go off from Saniv. Anyway, Danny, go on.
Well, I'm scared to give my opinion now, to be honest with you, after this witch hunt. No, I think the primary objective of a corner, when you're defending it, is to defend it. So whatever you need to do to defend the corner best, if we're defending a corner, we shouldn't be thinking about attacking. We should be thinking about defending. So for me, again, depends on the situation. If we're 1-0 up, if we're 1-0 up with 95 minutes, I'm not leaving one player up. I'm going to defend with everybody I've got. So I think it depends on the situation. Personally, though, I do like leaving a guy up because it takes two people away, which in my opinion means there's less threat, i.e. numbers, who can get the head on the ball. Yes, it means that we might have one less defender, but I'd rather have a bit more space in the penalty area where a keeper's a lot easier to come and get it by having a player up the pitch. So personally, if it's a corner, defend the corner. I'm not worried about the attack. When we stop the attack, then we've got people like Ayoub who can sprint down wings, etc. So that's my opinion.
Right, nice. Terence May, love Terence. He's always on the
go on, Tez.
He's got two here, right? Magoma needs to stop confusing for confidence and play the game he's in and not the one he feels he should be. And the next one was regarding Robinson. There were noises we call Robinson from Dundee in January. He's on a good goal to minutes ratio, but I say leave him there. He is under contract and could be attracting interest, which will give Wimbledon the upper hand to either keep him or get an excellent fee should either party wish for him to move on. Of course, this may mean our club brings in another striker from January to whenever, which may need not be such a bad thing. Right, so them 2 points. Magoma needs to stop losing the arrogance, confusing arrogance for confidence, and keep Robinson up in Dundee. Go on, mate.
I feel sorry for Magoma. And I know this, everyone's looking at me going, what on earth? But I feel that the way that Magoma plays, it suited the way that we were. I think Johnny Jackson has sold a style of football to Magoma and Brentford, and we're now not playing that style of football. And I don't think the way that we play suits him at all. So I do feel sorry for him. It doesn't excuse his moaning, the whinging, the falling over, the I'm not going to track back. So I do feel sorry for him because I do feel that he was sold something that isn't happening anymore. But I don't know whether that's arrogance or I don't know what it is, but I do feel like where we've got a good football player and we're not getting the best out of him. And whether that's because of the way that we're playing or whether that's him or whether that's a personal relationship, I don't know. But I'm worried we're going to have another Henry Lawrence here where he started really well, looked like a good player, just as nosediving off the face of the earth. But that's my Magoma chat.
No, I'd agree. I think the thing is, though, Brentford clearly sent him here to man up. Sorry, I don't know.
No. I know what you mean.
Learn the other side of the game. Learn when you've got to defend for 90 minutes. Because Brentford are, if you watch Brentford, they're a physical side. They play channels. You know, they play off Tony. So if he does ever want to break into the Brentford first team, he's really got to learn that. And so I do agree. I think he is a bit too, he tries to look cool. You know what I mean? He tries to look cool. And what frustrating is, if he just played how he can play, he'd be a great player. But I think it's that level of trying to look cool for the show or to look above the game.
Do you keep him, George, January? Or would you think about sending him back?
I think you do keep him because I think he's a very good midfielder. I think there is a good midfielder in there. It's whether or not JJ can get the best out of him and how him and JJ's relationship works. I'm surprised he hasn't been dropped yet at all. Like in a league game, he's started every league game. I'm surprised JJ hasn't let George Marsh or Bendel start a game in that role and sort of take him out to show him that, look, if you're not going to perform, I've got two lads who will perform here. And but I'm just surprised he hasn't. But there might be something to do with Brentford, a cult clause there, or I don't know. Paris is frustrating because, you know, we've seen how good he can be. But yeah.
George, I think you're right as well to say man up. We are watching men's football, so it's not an issue with me. And I know there'll be people complaining about that, but we're watching men play football and Paris needs to man up a little bit before he goes back to play men's football again. I think Paris needs to stop the arrogance a little bit, the when he came off the other day, apparently he weren't very happy about it. The diving, falling over all the time, does my head in with him. He is a player. And I think the reason why he hasn't been dropped is the two players you mentioned, unfortunately, are nowhere near as good as him. They can't pass the ball like he can. They can't glide past people like he can. Bendall maybe, but George Marsh definitely can't. And yeah, I think that's the reason why he's not being dropped. Could be a reason that Brentford have said that he has to play a certain amount of minutes and stuff. You never know with regards to loans, but yeah, that's the reason why I think I just think he is a good player, but he needs to go back to where he was playing when he first joined, and he wanted maybe get off the YouTube stuff and stop thinking you're some kind of like YouTuber. You're a footballer playing for a League Two team at the moment. With the Robinson stuff, I kind of agree with Terence. I think I'd leave Robinson up in Dundee at the moment. He's playing a lot of minutes. Is it worth him coming back and sitting on our bench? Because he's not getting in ahead of Josh Davison, and he'll only come on for a few minutes here and there, because I think we need another winger in January. Get rid of Courtney Senior because he's not good enough. And yeah, I don't think Robinson would play enough minutes. Leave him on loan. Let him try and get 20 goals at Dundee. Go on, George.
I'm on the other side of the fence there. I think we should bring him back, because if you look at our record of recruiting strikers in January, it is woeful. When was the last time we signed a decent striker in January?
Got Byron Harrison. It was unbelievable. Yeah,
exactly. Like, the chance of you getting a decent striker in January are so little, unless you're doing a do a Wrexham where you go out and buy Palmer, or not saying Palmer, but I mean you go out and smash some serious cash. It's so little.
So you're not spinning the wheel. If it was a case of you can have Robinson guaranteed, or you can spin the wheel of who we can get.
A player who's scoring goals, I think, and obviously NYC coming back, and then you've actually got some options. You've actually got options then. And, you know, we keep complaining we've got no options on the bench. Bring him back. You've got to have options back. You've got to be able to change the game, because if Davis, we're relying on Davison not getting injured. His work rate is ridiculous, Josh Davison. I know you two probably agree. The amount of yards he'll get through in a season is ridiculous. If he doesn't break down, it's a miracle. If he doesn't at some point. So we need a strike on the bench, is a serious option. And realistically, I can see Huddling going back. Why would they have not let him play in the FA Cup if he was staying? So I think Zach Robinson, who's got a pedigree of scoring goals, I know we don't know what the level quite compares to, but I think he's the obvious option, and he's the only, in my opinion, option that will guarantee you at least an impact from the bench, at least.
Right. I don't disagree with that either. I feel like Zach Robinson, I think the thing I don't really get is about market value and about what we're going to get, and we're going to get some market value. And I think it all just depends on what his game plan is, because I don't know, if I signed a contract at a club like Wimbledon and I was at Robinson, I wouldn't really have accepted a loan move up to Dundee. For me, it don't smell right. I feel like there must have been, he must have signed it and then been almost told, well, I don't know, I'm not sure I fancy it. Or he said, I'll sign it, but I want to play somewhere else for a year and play and be guaranteed game time. So I would be bringing him back, definitely. And because I think there's definitely a forward going to have to come in. A player in a forward position is going to need to come in January, I would think. Whether that's a loan or a permanent, I don't know. Zach Robinson has the opportunity next year to come in and be an NYC with Davison, so you could have Davison with Zach Robinson. Realistically, you could have that, and that opens up another loan player to be somewhere else. So I would be bringing him back to give him a really good look. And like George said, Davison's work rate is phenomenal, and we do need to at some point give him a breather. I know we're out of cup matches now, but we're going, if he breaks down, we are seriously in the doggy doodah. And Huddling is definitely going back January. If he's not, I don't know what the hell we're doing. So yeah, that's me.
George, last point, because we've got quite a few to get through still. So.
No, you go ahead. Dick. Go on to the next one.
So from Silfen, as I said, we've got quite a few to get through, so we might have to shorten them up. And if we don't say them out, then I do apologise, but we did get quite a few. Callum Bailly has been our best centre-back this season. That's from Silfen.
No, not better than Riley Towler. No. Yeah. And I prefer him in midfield, but Paul Callum Bailly from a ball-playing centre-back is the worst we've got, actually. And that's pretty bold, considering we've got Alex Pearce, who I don't think can pass particularly well. I think he's played to a League Two standard. And I think, as I said before, if a team wants to play with skill, Callum Bailly is going to get found out. If you've got a strong physical, a Brett Pittman or Sam Vokes or someone like that, he is going to be able to grapple. But from a ball-playing centre-back, I think if Nightingale was fit, I think if Alex Pearce was properly fit, Towler, We've had Lee Brown play a little bit in a three. I don't agree that he's been our best centre-back, but he is playing. He's playing as well as Paul Kalambayi can play. That's me.
I think, yeah, no, I agree. I think Towell has comfortably been the best centre-half of the club, although I do, as I said, prefer him in midfield. But I think the thing is with PK, he's got a mistake in him every match. It might not always cost us a goal, but something goes wrong with PK every match. There's always a, do you know what I mean? He always gets spun or something. So I'm not sure, for me, he's the best at the club. But again, you've got to give him credit. He has, you know, when he's been called upon this season, done well.
Is he a League Two centre-back, George, do you think?
Yeah.
I agree. I think he's in the squad. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
I think that's something we can all agree on, that PK is a good League Two centre-back. But once you step up to League One, he unfortunately isn't good enough to play at that level. Do you know what I mean? Where Ben Hennigan's gone on to Sheffield Wednesday, he was doing well. I know he's injured now, but I can't see Paul Kay ever going to a Ipswich or Sheffield Wednesday, where I can see Towler possibly in a couple of years being at an Ipswich, Portsmouth in the Championship, League One. Do you know what I mean? Where I can't see PK ever stepping up to that level. So I kind of get his point, because I think PK's improved and done better, and it's shown that he's a good League Two centre-back, because I don't think he'd have been playing if Pierce Brown or Nightingale would have been fit enough to play.
He's also been at the club a while, but he's had a very in and out time in terms of injuries and quality. But I still,
he's taking his place now, though. He's taking that shirt,
and he's done well. But I still feel like if it was okay, it's a cup final. Who are you playing at centre back? Everyone's fully fit. I don't think Kalambayi plays in my team. No.
Right, ready? Another one from Nico. We need some new chance. The AFC Wimbledon one is pretty much the main one we sing. Time to revive some of the old ones or create some new ones. I have to agree with this. I think that all we ever sing is AFC Wimbledon. Some of the old chants have kind of got lost now. We don't really sing the champagne song anymore because it offends people. It seems to not come out as much as it used to. I don't think we've got any song for Josh Davison. We haven't got a song for Harry Pell. We haven't got a song for...
No, Pell has got Pell. Pell will tear you apart again. No,
that's Chris Gayle.
No, it's Harry Pell.
Riley Towler deserves a song big time.
But he's been playing the other one who deserves a song is Woodyard. Like, he didn't have one all of last year.
I think Davison does have a song, but it's like...
It's the Spurs one, isn't it? The Harry Kane one. And it's hard to get... Yeah, I think you're right there, George. Actually, he does have a song, but it's hard to get and get everyone singing it, I think. But I kind of write Nico right, really. I don't think we have any decent songs, any decent, like, new Wimbledon songs. You know what I mean? The Northern fans and Northern clubs always come up with the best songs, but London-based, like Chelsea, have just got Chelsea. You know what I mean? Arsenal don't even have a song. Go on, George.
I think it's also, now we're at Plough Lane, we've got a lot more neutrals. I know that's maybe not the key reason, but when we had the old Tempest, like, you're not good, no neutrals are really going in the Tempest. So it was a proper, you know, the old school were ruling it and that they knew all the chants. Whereas now I feel like the only ones that properly get rung around the stadium is AFC Wimbledon, because that's what...
We're too widespread, aren't we? At the moment, we're a bit new. You, like you said, behind the goal at King's Meadow, it was so tight and everyone was there. And it was such a small ground, you could get it. Whereas Plough Lane's quite big and everyone gets a bit filtered. But it would be good to get a few newer ones. But I still thought that would be a great thing for the club shop, you know, like a songbook where a fan can come and read it. I thought that'd be hilarious. Every year you get the songbook, first game, here's your sheet. It'd be like carol singers. It'd be epic.
I will retire from football if they ever bring a songbook out and put it in the club.
Do you know what? I'll get one out for January.
We just put someone at the front being like, lads, please turn to page 19.
Yeah. With some bloke holding up a sign.
We should do what they do in Germany. We should have someone at the front in a little like box who has a microphone and he then starts the chant. No, have you seen it? All the ultras, guy in a little kind of makeshift scaffold. And then he goes like, we're singing champagne now. It starts it and everyone else starts joining in.
Have you guys seen the American guy do it? He's like,
fight and win. Yeah, well, the Americans are useless at singing. Sorry, Jonathan. Right, another one is from Al Snow. I'd rather Wimbledon win the Papa John's Trophy than England win the World Cup.
Grow up. I am club over country, but the Papa John. If you offer me playoff final win versus World Cup, I'd probably take playoff final win going up.
Papa John's trophies at Wembley though.
No, but it's not the same. We're still in League Two next year. I'm still playing like Hartlepool, but like I think a League One, a League Two playoff win would I take, but not a chance. Am I taking a Papa John's trophy win over anyone winning World Cup? I just can't do it.
No, I completely disagree with that bloke. I mean, you take England winning the World Cup over the Papa John's.
I think he was trying to be a little bit facetious. I think
it's an unpopular opinion, and he's been correct. It was an unpopular opinion.
If it was, say, League Two, we could go right automatic promotion out of League Two, or England win the World Cup. Which are you taking?
I want us to win the World Cup, please.
England, no, I'd have Wimbledon winning League to get
playoffs. No, I'm having playoffs. I'd prefer to get promoted playoffs.
Wimbledon get promoted out of League Two, or England win the World Cup.
England win the World Cup.
No, Wimbledon.
The impact will be mental.
Well, don't give a fuck about the impact.
Well, you can get promoted next week. You can get promoted.
How's it
going to
impact me?
Of course you won't, because you're miserable. You're bloody grim.
No, I want Wimbledon to go. I'd rather Wimbledon get promoted. I used to say I'd rather Wimbledon win the corner.
As soon as that clock chimed December, you turn into a bar humbug. Look at you.
Prince. I'd rather Wimbledon got promoted than England win the World Cup.
Papa John's trophy. The question was Papa John's.
Yeah, he's pushing his luck a little bit, Al, but. Yeah, I think he's doing that for a joke. Right. Joe Mojo, the guy who does all our graphics, the brilliant graphics that Joe does, his unpopular opinion is, I'd take Robbo back if we had a better structure above him. So I'm guessing he's meaning what we have now, MD, head of football operations. Do you know what I mean? Someone doing all the recruitment and Robbo doing the coaching and stuff. What are we saying with that? He'd rather have Robbo back if he had a better structure above him.
I think it's so hard with that. It's all if buts and maybes, isn't it? It's if you gave Robbo this side, sorry. So if you gave Robbo this side, do you think he does better than what JJ does with this side? My answer will probably be yes. I'd say right now, if Robbo had a full preseason with the side, had Pell, all these players, I think Robbo probably would be doing better. But the other argument is, did Robbo do everything he could for the club in terms of, was his like cycle finished? You know, he'd been here for so long, maybe. We needed someone like Jackson to come along and, you know, someone completely new to do it.
That's a tough question, that. That's a really rough question. I mean, I like the clarity that Robinson was trying to give us. I like what he was trying to do. But again, me and Lee spoke in the week about his Ollie Palmer interview about was it Will Daniels, the gambling guy, and the recruitment, stuff like that was so far wide of the mark. I don't know him, the Salis stuff, the substitutes coach, which again, when you think about it and you talk about it, you say, oh, it's okay. But the head of recruitment basically just saying, right, we're not going to buy anybody over 21 and we're just going to be like a youth team. It was so far wide. The whole finishers thing, I kind of felt like he was really trying hard to be something different than what we needed him to be, which was the fifth worst team in the league. And I think he had aspirations just to be higher. Don't get me wrong, I don't think the club supported him. Don't get me wrong, not sold on Jackson at all, really. I think he's had a good run of late, but I don't think this is the blueprint of his football team and the way he wanted to play. I feel like injuries and a bit of, okay, League Two, we need to play in a different way, has kind of come to the surface. So I would, if someone said right now, would you take Robinson over Jackson? I think the answer would be no, because we haven't really given Jackson a proper go. But do I like what Robinson was trying to do? Yes, I really did. And I really feel gutted because I don't feel like he was quite given what was needed. But I don't think he helped himself. And the club with the whole, I think, sold him down the river with that press conference with those people talking about championship in 3 years. It killed him.
I think Robinson's a better coach than Jackson. If you're talking about individual players, I think as a football coach on the grass, I'd say Robinson's much better than Jackson. But as a leader of the club, as a first team manager, everything that comes with that, I think Jackson does that job better. Maybe because he has more experience or whatnot. I just think Jackson is a better club leader, but Robinson's a better coach. So I probably agree with you, Danny, where I probably wouldn't take Robbo right now. But, you know, six months late down the line.
Do you think he gets another job somewhere, Robbo? Do you think he's going to be a manager somewhere?
Not, No, not manager. No, he's at Chelsea's under 20, whatever youth now. He's back to what he does best, and that's coaching youth footballers. Some of the best footballers in the world he's probably coaching now, so it's probably a little bit easier than...
You don't think Crawley or someone...
No,
Crawley will go, we'll have a go at him.
No, I don't think so, because I think... The problem I had with Robbo is I love Robbo, and when he got the job, I was quite... I didn't really want him to get because I knew we'd lose him in the end.
Yeah.
And what a great job he did
with
the youth
team. It's a weird one, that, isn't it? It's such a weird one, that.
But the arrogance I found with him is that he thought he was this kind of new Pep Guardiola kind of thing, that he was coming in, as you said, Danny, to try and do this new whirlwind of football, finishers, and do you know what I mean? And how the whole club fell in line with it all. And the stuff that Ollie Palmer said the other day regarding our recruitment is, why is... Robbo or Joe Palmer's as much to blame in this as well, because he was in that, and that's who you know what I mean. They should have been talking to, but why is that allowed to happen? That Will Daniels, who is a gambling analyst, was even allowed to go through that. Robbo should have been saying, no, this ain't on. Do you know what I mean? I want Ollie Palmer to stay. He means a lot to my team. Do you know what I mean? And to not have that just shows that he didn't have the management skills that you need. He might have a good man management skills, but then again, the Palmer interview the other day that Robbo would start picking his team on a Monday. I know he did, I think he only did it for 2 or 3 weeks if you listen to the full interview. But yeah, you don't pick your team on Monday for the coming Saturday. And the fact that, again, Palmer said he was great man management. Of course you're going to say that when you were throwing sickies and you didn't want to play against Plymouth or whatever it is in the league, but because didn't want to miss the Arsenal game. You're going to say he's a great man manager. You know what I mean? If my boss was giving me loads of sickies every week, do you know what I mean? As a professional footballer, yeah, I'd have Jackson at the moment. And again, I'm not overly sold on Jackson yet. And I don't know if I ever will be, really, with Jacko. It seems a bit weird for me, but yeah, I'm on Jackson. All right, we're going to go two more of these and then we'll finish up. Jay Weston, New Plough Lane is a bit of a concrete corporate stadium lacking in real character. I half agree, because a lot of it isn't finished yet, which the club know about, and they're hopefully going to be exploring ways of funding that. I don't know how, we've got bonds to pay. But if you go into the fan zone and stuff like that, the fan zone's wicked. You know what I mean? I like the bar. Some people don't like the bar, the way it's set up. I think it's brilliant. I like the fact there's TVs there. You've got the little bit underneath now with the seats and stuff. I like the fan zone. I like the food. I like the East Stand where we all sit and make noise and stuff. I like the fact we can give it to away fans. I do like Plough Lane. I think it's brilliant. I choose Plough Lane over Kings Meadow every day of the week. I don't think it's a concrete... and we've also got to now explore it a little bit better. Now we've got a new MD in with Danny Macklin. I think he has some ideas and plans that we need to trust that he's going to make it work.
First, I just want to say any bar that serves Budweiser shouldn't be open. So the Phoenix shouldn't be open. And secondly, I think also you've got to remember we've had, what, like 4 league wins there? So like there's no, you don't really associate great memories with Plough Lane yet, do we? We have no like, of Orient and Oxford, and those are the only two like wins that stand out. So I think it's hard to create like soul, if that makes sense, when you're losing games and constantly playing awful like we did last season. So I think it's not helped by what's on the field, but there's definitely building blocks for it to become a, you know, proper stadium.
I also feel that we've only been there in terms of fans for a season and a bit. I think it's impossible to say it's anything, but it's like going into a brand new house and going, oh, I feel right at home here. Well, you don't. You're not until everything's in and you've got yourself sorted and your sofa's there and your TV's there. And at the moment, it's still a little bit of a work in progress. But there's no doubt that like the Leyton Orient game was superb in there. I thought the Harrogate game at the end was superb. I don't think it's the ground's problem. I think we're part of the problem. You know, when things haven't gone great over the last year and a bit, us as fans have not been the heart and soul of it. But it's so hard because you're watching a game and you're just constantly disappointed, frustrated, annoyed. It's not going to be what you expect it to be. It's going to be a little bit of a hollow shell. I bet the Arsenal fans, when they first went to the Emirates, thought, oh, God, where's Highbury? We miss Highbury. Oh,
it's just West Ham.
It's exactly. I understand what he's saying. It is a little bit watered down, but once we get rid of the next 2 or 3 years, pay off a bit more debt, have a few more events, get a little bit of more of a settled who's actually coming every week and where they are. I mean, I'm still meeting people who are standing literally near me. a row behind, a row in front. You know, for all the half of the last year, we were like, are they going to be here forever? So it's just kind of, whereas, at, you know, at King's Meadow, you're standing there. I stood with the same people for a decade. So, yes, it does take time. George is right. What the menu of football we've been served up has been pretty pants. But that will change and we'll get more success and it will be better, I'm sure.
And we're also trying to do things like putting the Cedars plaques up now. That's all going around. The Wish team have put up, what's it called? The posters kind of thing, what they called the murals and stuff like that are going up. So, as you said, Danny, when you move into a new house, you don't have all your photos up straight away, do you? Mm. It is, and the club and Wish and, do you know what I mean, people that are helping and volunteering and putting this stuff up are trying to make it as homely as possible. And I think we will get there in the end. As I said, we are in there, what, two years as fans now? Do you know what I mean? You can't really count the COVID years because no one was in there at all. Yeah, so that's your point there, Danny. Martin Drake, I don't really like this one, but he put it on there. Our fans are shocking. And I asked him why, which ones? Lots of our fans who should know better and don't know a good thing when they see it. Again, this is what I come back to, where middle-class men at Wimbledon think they can, the arrogance that they can talk down to people. Like his first thing was, our fans are shocking. That was the unpopular opinion, that our fans are shocking, which, because they don't always agree, and do you know what I mean, you disagree with someone, it means that you're wrong straight away. And I don't think our fans are shocking. I think there's a lot of people out there that really have got gripes with the board, gripes with what's been happening on the pitch. It hasn't helped. I think people are right. If we're winning, you don't really see it or hear it as much. But I think last year kind of raised issues that people were very unhappy with. And our fans can, you know what I mean? We just bigged up the ground a little bit there. But our fans are entitled to have an opinion and a voice. And you can't be calling them shocking. You can't be calling them Buckingham babes and things like that to wind up fans even more. But go on, what do you think?
I think it's difficult because, as I said, since we've been at Plough Lane, I haven't... George summed up earlier. If you're not offered a great service and you're not offered a great thing, a lot of people, it's the highlight of their weekend. I've been looking forward to going to the Grimsby game since Tuesday. You know, I saw my dad today. We were talking about it. We're excited to go. And all of last year, I was looking forward to taking my dad and going to watch football. And I just had a baby girl, but I was making those sacrifices to go. When you're offered something that isn't a reflection of what you think the club should be or a reflection of your memories of our football club, it's very, very hard to put that aside and go, yeah, but my job is to do this or my job is to support this football club. Likewise, again, we are split. There are lots of people filtering into where those traditional fans would normally be, which means that it doesn't necessarily have that bouncing energy that it can create. So I don't disagree. I don't think the fans are shocking, far from it. I think that's unfair. And I think when you put into context what we've experienced, the quality of football we've got, the amount of money that we felt. But again, it also, it's hard because the club are saying, oh, we're going to have a competitive budget and we're going to have this, and we haven't. So it's kind of like the club haven't really helped the fans here. If the club said, you know what, we've been relegated, we're going to have to hold on tight here. We're not going to have that budget. That means we're going to bounce back. It will be an aim, but it's not going to be something that we're going to project and we're going to give it our best shot. Fans would be in a much different headspace. So I don't think our fans are shocking. I think the ones on Facebook can be, though. I think that's a fair shout because some of their behaviour has been really poor. And I think some of the Twitter conversations as well have been difficult. So I don't think we're shocking. I don't think we've been brilliant. But I don't think the shock ain't a fair word.
The thing about social media, Danny, is it can be ignored. You don't have to, if someone writes a stupid post on Facebook, just block that person if they keep on, or just scroll past it. You don't need to read someone go, oh, Johnny Jackson's a cunt, just with no context.
No, but their behaviour would still be shocking.
Yeah, no, I get it, but yeah. just read. But well, I think fans at the ground have been quite patient and quite well behaved and quite decent, to be fair. But that's where I don't take social media seriously, because most people are trolls on there anyway. They have fake names, fake photos. Do you know what I mean? Most people don't even put their own photo up, so it's hard to engage with someone like that when you don't even know who you're talking to. You could be talking to a scum fan for all we know. Do you know what I mean? So I think the fans in the ground have been spot on. George, what's your view?
No, I agree. I think obviously they're going to be annoyed about what's on the pitch, and that will dictate the mood at the club. Realistically, you know, as a whole, we went 8 months without a win. Like, that's just going to dictate the mood. You're always going to be on a down. So I think our fans are pretty decent. I know there are some fans who purposely create division, and there are some fans who don't listen to certain people. And as I said earlier, maybe a bit of arrogance, and that's always going to happen. You're going to have that in every fan base. So I don't think we're woeful. We're definitely in the better half of fan bases if you took all 92.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We're definitely near the top. I think just because we've had such a high, if that makes sense, before Plough Lane, you know, we were in League One, we were beating big teams before Plough Lane, it was such a high. Then to come, you know, that high at Plough Lane, then to come crashing back down almost with relegation. I think the fans are just experiencing their first proper low, if that would, since Wimbledon, 20 years, perhaps first proper low, and maybe that's why it seems worse than it is.
And we also live in a culture where people don't like losing and people don't like being defeated nowadays. It's, do you know what I mean? It's the snowflake culture that people say, you know what I mean? You start losing games, people, you know what I mean? They don't like it. And it, as you said, there are people out there that cause division and stuff like that. And there's people that wouldn't mind Wimbledon dropping into the Roman Premier League as long as Wimbledon was still there, which some people don't want that to happen. But we're going to have to move on because we have been discussing unpopular opinions for quite some time. So when we come back, we're going to have a change to the scheduling. We are going to be discussing the meet the manager and the appointment of the head of football operations.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
So we're back and we're going to be discussing the Meet the Manager, which is happening on Tuesday. Nothing like a bit of notice from the club to let all fans get involved. The head of football operations has been announced, and that is Craig Cope, who is coming in from Solihull Moors. He'd done other stuff at Nottingham Forest, I believe, and a couple other clubs. I can't remember now, but I haven't got it in front of me. But yeah, I'm quite pissed off with the club. I say meet the manager. It's going to be Johnny Jackson, Danny Macklin and Mike Buckley. This Tuesday coming at 7 o'clock, right in the middle of the World Cup. I think it's going to be the round of 16, Portugal versus whoever they play. I don't think that's been decided yet. I think it might be Spain, actually. It might be Portugal-Spain, which is going to be a massive game, right, in the World Cup.
No, it's not. It's not Portugal-Spain. But because Portugal are playing tomorrow, and there's another group that's playing tomorrow, and it's them who are playing.
Is it tomorrow? Yeah, I didn't know if there's two groups playing.
No, because it's two in a day.
Portugal versus Brazil's group. So it could be Serbia.
That's it.
Portugal-Serbia or something like that. That's
it. It could be Portugal-Brazil.
Which, to me, it's put, yeah, it could, and it's 7 o'clock... start, which is fine, but they've given the fans 4 days notice, right, to say yes, I can come down and do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that for me is pretty poor planning from our point of view. We say we want to be engaged with all fans and we want to engage and communication and stuff like that. Danny Macklin said it on the pod last week. We're giving 4 days notice for people to get involved in this Q&A session. Thoughts?
Not the best. I think it's not the best way to start. You know, we could have, if we, you know, set a date, we could have done it a lot better. And I get you know, we don't know when we have JJ and it will be, I know it's hard to set a date, but I think it's just a bit poor. You know, it's meant, Danny Macklin wants to set a tone, and he has set a good tone with the footy for a fiver, is it? It's the Stockport, and that's, you know, a good thing. But, you know, easy wins, you know, set it in advance, set it, you know, maybe in a couple of weeks' time when there's in between the semi-final and the third place, when there isn't a game, you know, on a Tuesday or whatnot. I just think it sounds harsh. It's typical Wimbledon, isn't it? It's just 4 days late on a World Cup. You know, it's just deflating is the word I'd use.
And the problem is exactly what Georgie said. It's typically Wimbledon. That's, in a nutshell, exactly the problem. We all are not surprised it's happened. It's typically Wimbledon. It's what we've always done. It's a shame because I think he's trying to do something good, and I respect that. But someone just check and go, hold on a minute, there's a big World Cup game, et cetera, et cetera. I know people will be like, oh, it's difficult. Well, wait till the end of the World Cup. We're talking about December the 17th. It's over. Do it, you know, do it just before Christmas. Do it I don't care when you do it, to be honest with you. But doing it that day, it just smacks out that someone hasn't done their research.
But for me, it's not even about the World Cup, being honest. The fact that you've given fans 4 day notice, like this come out late Thursday afternoon. So you're giving Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 4 days to go, right, can you make it on a Tuesday to meet three important people at the club and ask them a question? Do you know what I mean? We appreciate that Danny came on the podcast last week and people, that was well received. Do you know what I mean? He answered questions, didn't hide, brilliant stuff. But we have to be better with stuff like this to get all fans involved. And it just tries to, it says to me that we're trying to not get fans involved and trying to hide fans away because we're making it as hard and as difficult for them to ask questions to MD, CEO, and the manager. And that's just, I think it's pretty poor from Wimbledon. That's my view of it, really.
It's a shame. Like I said, I don't... Are they streaming it live? Is it something that fans
someone,
can watch?
Someone asked the question, are they going to be able to watch it? I think that someone, I'm guessing it was Chris, came back and said, we're trying to figure out if that can be the case. I doubt that's going to be the case because it takes a lot of hard work to do that. We couldn't even do a hustings for the John Truss elections, which, by the way, you have to vote on by the 3rd of December, which is Sunday. So remember to be voting. I've voted already. I think
it's a bit of a missed opportunity, a bit of a shame. Fair play. Let's be sunny side up. At least he's trying to do something, Danny Macklin. So fair play for trying to do something. I'm not sure it's a great timing, but maybe there's a capacity of X amount and we'll fill it. We'll have a few people there, which will be good. So I hope those people enjoy it and they get the answers that they want. But yeah, to give 4 days notice for an event like this where it could have been double that is a little bit of a shame.
And George?
I think also announcing it on the same day that you announce a head of football, it's just a weird announcement planning. And I know, I'm sure it's not Chris Thorpe, so I'm not blaming anyone. It just seems weird that we're having two massive bang, like, you know what I mean, gunshots in within an hour virtually of each other. It just seems weird on the marketing front, but on the release front.
It gives ammunition to the people that say that the fans don't want the fans to be involved. Because
yes, 100%.
Do you know what I mean? It kind of saying, or we're hiding it underneath now. You won't even see it because the head of football operations news is coming out after. People are going to be concentrating on that and not this little announcement that we've just snuck in there. And it gives people like myself, moaners, ammunition to say this ain't good enough from the club. Do you know what I mean? Which I think in this point is fair point, but we've got to be better with what we're doing. As I said, the Don's Trust elections... 3rd of December, this Sunday, you have to vote by then. I've not been on Pro Boards in the last 2 weeks because Pro Boards is an absolute piss take. They need to look at it for the next elections. We'll talk about this on another podcast, but yeah, the elections have been, in my opinion, an absolute joke. I voted anyway, all done. But Pro Boards, I don't give a shit what No Mark, Wimbledon fans, Don Trust members think. I'm asking elections and then being spoken to like a piece of shit, not on, in my opinion. Go on, George.
I was going to, segue into Craig Cope. I think that's a solid appointment, you know, trying to get a bit more positivity back into us after a bit of a low podcast. I think Craig Cope's a decent appointment. I think, you know, he's done well at Solihull Moors. You know, they got to play off final. They're unlucky. They've got some good, very good attacking talent there. They've got Dallas, Sobra, Josh Kelly. They've just signed from Maidenhead. So they've done really well with some attacking talent. So I know maybe he's not the best all round, but on the club he's at the moment is definitely on the up.
What I think what we need is what he's going to bring. And what he's done at Solihull, he's now taken that step up, right? So he's gone from a conference team who have got great owners. I think Sam Elliott put it on Facebook that, as you said, their attacking talent have not come from massive money. I think the Maidenhead one might have come from some of the Hudlin money. But they've reinvested what and someone said to me, well, he did sign Hudlin. Don't know if that was Kopey, but do you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, they got Hudlin from nowhere and sold him to Huddersfield for decent money and ended up signing a Maidenhead striker who was top scorer in the conference, I believe. So he does seem to sign players from non-league, lower league. I did put up a thing on our Twitter page, This Football Life. I don't know when it was, but it was a kind of a podcast that he went on discussing non-league football and recruitment in non-league football, because obviously Opta doesn't go into non-league. So where does he get his stats from and stuff like that? And I know he goes around a lot of the grounds from what I've done researching. So he'll watch a lot of football. He had an analyst at Solihull Moors, just one. I think if you go on their webpage, but I think it's a great appointment, to be fair. And you know what I mean? It might come back and bite me and he might be awful, but for what he's done at Solihull and where they are in the conference, it's exactly what we need, is someone coming in. And we've said this before, Danny, signing the best players from Dulwich Hamlet, Tooting and Mitcham. Do you know what I mean? Getting the Antonio Michaels and all them people in and turning them into stars and making them make us money.
Well, I don't know anything about the guy. I'm literally just looking through the players that have been sold by Solihull Moors, and there's very, very few who have done anything of any description at all. So I'm not overly... I don't know much about him. I'm just looking solely on one website, which has basically given me a whole list of players, and out of it, I know in terms of players who have moved on to better clubs is very, very few. The other concern, I guess, if you're when you look at it, is the fact that he's been at a lot of clubs just for a season. So if you look at, he's been at Birmingham as an intern for a year. He was at Cheltenham for a year, Notts County for a year, Birmingham for a year, Forest for a year. Now, whether that is in relation or in connection with managers going, which is could be fair, so we'll give him that benefit of the doubt. The Solihull Moors thing, I think, is they're as George said, they are a club on the up. They did really, really well. I wonder whether Ardley's had a word with some of the members at the club, and he's the manager there, I believe. Whether there's been any kind of conversation with that, or I don't know. But to be honest, it's just nice to have it filled. I'm not going to judge him at all. We know we're keeping the other guy until Jamie Johnson, I think it is, until the end of January. I guess the proof will be in the pudding, but I don't think this year's transfers have been particularly dreadful. So let's see if he can improve on it. George?
I just want to come back with your point with why he's been at clubs for a year. I think he's only young. I think he's only 24, 25. So you think when he was at these clubs, he was just gaining experience as a 20-year-old, probably at university and stuff. He was at Manchester Met Uni 20 to 2022. He did University of Chichester 2014 to 2018. That's when he was working as an intern at Birmingham, first team analyst. He would have been studying at the exact same time as he was doing these jobs. So I think age is the reason why he probably was only at these places for young time, Dan.
Well, no, he's not young, young. He ain't going to be 25, because if he's finished his degree and he left school at 18, he'll be 21, 24, he'll be 30-odd.
I'm just saying that's why I think he might have been at some of these teams for only like internships and stuff like that, is because he was studying, and if you're going to pass whatever he was studying, it says master's degree in sports, don't know what, Bachelor of Science, Master of Science in sports, I'm guessing he had to go out and do an internship at a club, and he helped with their recruitment. And then he's worked his way up. He's been 4 years at Solihull, as George said, on the up. I'm just giving you what my reasons is. You know what I mean? It's again, my opinion. I know you don't like that tonight, but that's all.
I think you can see that as a positive as well. The fact that he would have seen so many different clubs, the ins and outs analysis. Yes. So you can pick the best bits out. But I wanted to get back to the point with Danny made, that I know Solihull haven't sold many players at the moment, but they've got a lot lined up, which is the thing. And I know he might not be there for them to leave, but like right now, for example, if you saw our academy, you'd be saying we've only sold Rudoni, really. I know you can see the youngest, but we've only sold Rudoni when you actually look at it from an outsider's perspective. But then you don't see, you know, Leo Castledine, Ayu Asau, Jack Curry, the ones who are coming through who haven't gone yet. So I think Solihull, if you actually watch them or watch the National League or know the National League, have got a lot of young players who are coming through. So maybe he isn't responsible for getting sold, but definitely finding them and developing them, which is what we need, because we need to be making better use of South London and the talent that's available, the talent that gets dropped out of the academies, pick the best lot, develop them.
You make, George, an absolute superb point there, leaving Danny absolutely speechless.
I'm delighted that George has given me the optimism. As I said, I won't be judging him at all. It's just, from my perspective, if you've been in five football jobs and none of them have been longer than a year apart from the last one that you've had, to say that he's got a fantastic pedigree, in my opinion, would be naive.
For me, that shows that he has branched out across the board and has experience now across the levels.
The other way of looking at it is that he wasn't good enough for any of the 92 Football League clubs. The other way you could naively put it, if you like. Otherwise,
but he's done his apprenticeship.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Fanny, did you just say 92 football clubs? You're a fake Wimbledon fan. There should be only 91 in there.
There should be 91, George. How many are there, though?
Ticket.
There's 92.
Give me a new season ticket.
George is going after Danny tonight.
Look, I'm with you. There should be 91, but there are 92.
George has pulled out the punches today. Danny's on the ropes. I think it's going to be
Let's give him 100% our support. Let's see what January, and let's see the future, and let's hope that we do well. We're all on the same team.
You know what I'm like. I go all in straight away. Within 3 months, I'm going to want him out of the job because he's useless.
But it's good. George has generally comes across and says that he's got some good young players. I don't know it as well as he does. I've got full faith in what George is saying.
It's about time we had someone intelligent on the podcast, so I'm quite happy with
that. Someone else intelligent, yeah.
Anyway, we'll move on, and when we come back, we'll discuss Grimsby and we'll preview the game on Saturday.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast, by the fans, for the fans.
Back, and we're going to be discussing Grimsby on Saturday. Just a quick one, because we have been Danny's been waffling on tonight and then being put in his place by George, which has been nice. Poor man's George Jones, I would say. So we're going to be discussing Grimsby. And what do you think, boys? What is the point of the changing the kickoff to 12:30 when we're playing, England are playing at 7 o'clock on Sunday? Was that another stupid decision by the club?
Was we at some point going to be playing?
It comes second in the group.
George's Wi-Fi. Yeah,
if we'd come second in the group,
would we have been on that day on the Saturday?
We would have done. If we'd come second in the group, yeah. But did you see our group? We would never come in second.
But if we did come second, you, and I am looking at you, Finch, and I did say your surname first. You would have been the person who'd gone, oh my God, I can't believe they've not done that. Just didn't meet the manager at the same time as the England game against Senegal.
I just don't get why we changed the kickoff. But apparently Grimsby are bringing 900 down for a 12:30 kickoff on a Saturday. That ain't bad.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, not bad.
Who's their manager? Paul Hurst.
Paul Hurst, yeah, the ex-Comfort manager.
Well, he was ex-Grimsby and he must have gone back.
Yeah.
Well, I'm optimistic, as usual. I don't really know much about where they're in the league or how they're doing. Are they near us?
They are 16th.
Last weekend, didn't they?
They've won 6, drawn 6, lost 6. Plus 2 goal difference.
So they are the absolute epitome of inconsistency.
Yeah, and they're playing against us. So I'm struggling with this. We need to kind of get back on form and stuff. And we need to show a lot more than we did last Saturday against Chesterfield. Hopefully them travelling down early is going to affect them, because it can do, or they'll probably stay in overnight, but do you know what I mean? But I think a 1-0 win, Wimbledon. Harry Pell scoring the goal. George Brown. Sorry, go on.
I'm a bit less optimistic. I think we're going to lose 2-1.
What? Oh, no. They haven't won in 5.
Yeah, I know.
They won last weekend.
No, drawn, lost, drawn.
Cambridge last weekend.
In the FA Cup. Yeah, last 5 league games, yeah.
Yeah, but we're a charity for teams that not doing well, aren't we? Historically, I think we're gonna start to see our style of play unravel, and I think teams are gonna come to Plough Lane. I think we're gonna be a better team away, and I think actually, do you know what? I won't be that negative. I'll say 1-1, and I'll change my tune. I'll go 1-1, and I'll say a goal from Jack Curry.
Well, if you want to be the positive side of it. We're 5 unbeaten on my latest football app. We're 5 league games unbeaten, and I think we're going to carry that on. I don't think Grimsby are going to impact us. I do think it is a particularly big game, because I think this win the game is going to be quite tricky. I think Stevenage is going to be quite tricky as well. So I feel that we've really got to make sure that we don't make this blip even bigger. So I'm going to say we're going to win 2-0.
Does for you lads, does Gunter come back in?
No.
Back from the World Cup.
If Gunter had been playing, then maybe, but he hasn't even played a minute in the World Cup. So he's just been training with some of the worst footballers that I've seen in this tournament. So
what about centre midfield then? Because obviously I think Biller plays right back. I think we go Callum Bailey, Towler, Curry. I think that's pretty sorted. that middle, is this the game where you give Magoma a rest?
No, you play Paris and Woodyard again and just say, go out there and do what you can do.
You Woodyard, don't play Marsh.
Woodyard was awful against Chesterfield, and people know I'm not his biggest fan, but I'm actually, I'll give him a little bit of respect. He's been better since, and we've been better since he's come in. I think he has to play to try and get back. Do you know what I mean? It was a bad game last week. Go to the boys. Look, go and do something. Do you know what I mean? Asal needs to do something. He was marked out the game last week. I think you played the same team as you ended. Well, you started with a Chesterfield.
I think his attitude was the thing that pissed me off the most. He came off the bench. He didn't shake JJ's hand or Skiverton's hand. And then, so maybe he gets dropped for attitude reasons.
Who are you bringing in though?
Probably actually Alfie Bendel. I think he could do a job for 60 minutes. I wouldn't play 90. Because I think George Marsh has been my disappointment of the season. So for me, I thought he was one of our best players last year and he's just lost that form. But I would really like to see NYC on the bench. That would be my Christmas, early Christmas present, but not sure it's happening because the club have gone quiet on that front.
That's unlikely. Bendel's not ready. He needs to go out on loan. Bless him. I think he's going to be amazing, but I feel like him starting, I've not seen anything of him in the game to feel like, right, you're absolutely ready. I think we're a season short of him, and I think that us holding on to him is, frankly, is a little bit of a nightmare for him because I think he needs to play. I think it's a direct problem of ours that we haven't got enough players, and we haven't put enough money into the squad, and I would be definitely looking to get at least another centre midfielder in the house and send him out on loan as soon as I possibly could.
I totally agree. I love Alfie Bendel and I think he will be a big player for us. I don't get where all these people are coming from where they've not really seen him play. Do you know what I mean? People are going mad about him and saying he should be starting games and stuff when they've seen 5 minutes here and there and he made one challenge. Do you know what I mean? I don't know where they're judging on the fact that he should be starting games over Woodyard, Pell, McParis. I just don't understand it. And the problem is, as we said, and George was perfectly spot on earlier, our strength in depth regarding bringing Robinson back, you look at our bench and think, well, who can really come in and start? Marsh, again, I totally agree with George, has been very disappointing.
You wouldn't drop Pell back one and put senior right winger, Sal left, Davison up front.
Senior's got to go. I'd get rid of senior now. Even though we're short in depth, I'd get rid of senior now. He's awful.
I'm bullish on Pell. I think he either plays in a 10 role or he doesn't play. He doesn't have the discipline to play in the deep central midfield role. I think I really like him in a 10 and I think it gives him a freedom. But I just think if we played him and Woodyard, I think we'd be too exposed at the back and that would leave people like Callum Bye very unprotected and
Over someone like Magoma playing in that role because he doesn't protect, does he really?
No, I think it's hard.
He's more disciplined though. He will sit when he. But
I think playing it's a Woodyard, his role's sort of gone because he's not. Paris needs to turn to an eight. A Frank Lampard or Steven Gerrard, and he doesn't quite give. He doesn't have that drive yet.
The only way Paris could be dropped is if Pierce is back 100% fit, and then you put Pierce and Callum Bye at the back, and then you move Towel and Woodyard into that.
Would our team be better bringing Pierce? So basically, who would be better, Pierce in our team or
Paris?
Which one?
I'd say Pierce because then you're moving Towel into a very strong defensive midfield role with Woodyard, leaving Pell in the number 10 role. You've then got Chislett and Asal behind Davison. Pierce is a decent centre-back as long as he don't start playing like we did at the start of the season where we try and play football. If we play like we're doing now and he did at Millwall, I think he's going to be a decent centre-back for us.
I think if Will was fit, that would be ideal. You can move Will into the back line. And then I'm not a massive fan of Will and PK as a two in League One, but I think League Two, they do all right. I think Will's done well this season. I think from what I've seen, he's done very well. And then I think Riley Towler is, I know it's controversial, I think he's probably arguably maybe the best midfielder at the club. His ball-playing ability is unbelievable. His long balls every time. And I've seen him in midfield for about 15, 20 minutes combined. But he's looked the best play, picks up second balls. And I think the sooner we can move Riley Towler into midfield, the better for the club.
And that's why the only hope we've got at the moment is Pierce coming back and being fully fit. But we don't know if that's going to be the case. Right, let's wrap it up. Well done, boys. Thanks very much for joining us, George. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Danny, it's been okay.
And it's been an adequate podcast. Thank you for being average host.
I'll see you two at the Ryder Cup in Rome.
Not if I see you first.
Yeah. Right, off we go. Come on, you duns.
Wombles.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Wombles Had a Dream podcast.
Follow us on Twitter at Womble's Dream and on Facebook at The Womble's Had in Dream. Get involved. By the fans, for the fans.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.